Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
I want to get you to a point this morning that you're not living by how you feel anymore. You're living by faith. You're living by the promise that's been made. That you go back when the devil's trying to beat down your door and you remind him of who you are because of who he is. Do you know it today? I do. I want you to know it today. I want you to know that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no matter what you're facing, that God is in control. Mephibosheth expected the king's wrath, but instead he got his unconditional love. That is God's plan for us. No matter our condition or our past, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wants to restore his covenant. Covenant power. 1 Samuel, go there with me if you would. We're going to read several verses. I have a lot to cover, and I'm going to try to cover it thoroughly and promptly and effectively. We're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 20, then to 2 Samuel. We'll have these scriptures up on the screen as well. Pretty much everything we will read today will come out of 1 and 2 Samuel. And if you miss anything, just let me know, and I'll be glad to share it with you later, because I've got to tell a story, and this story is long, and it would take too much time in the service to read every single part of this journey and this story that's put together and illustrated in 1 Samuel and then on into 2 Samuel, but I hope to give you the highlights and to bring clarity. For those of you that have been in church most of your life, you'll automatically recognize the story. If you are new to serving God, new to ministry, you may not recognize it the way that some others will, but I hope that I'll give it to you in a way that you can tie it together. Covenant power. I'm going to start with three main highlights that will help us begin to lay the foundations toward a summarization of what I'm trying to communicate to you today. The first thing we're going to do this morning, this is going to be a little more of a teaching and a preaching. We're going to take a look at two friends. Everybody say two friends. So that's our first goal here in verses 41 through 42 of 1 Samuel chapter 20. Father, bless this time. Lord, your word is powerful. It is true. It is everlasting. Anoint these lips of mine, this vessel of clay. May I bring honor to you in what I say here today, and may it be your words and your words alone. And Lord, I'll be truly grateful for it in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 41. After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times. We're beginning with two friends, Jonathan and David. Jonathan, the son of Saul, who at this time was king. Can you say amen? Make sure you're following me. And bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together. But David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of our Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. Now, if you know anything of the story, Saul was not pleased with David. Saul was tormented by evil spirits. Saul had found himself in a downward spiral as a king. He was making some choices out of jealousy and anger and frustration and bitterness. If you know anything about the story there about David and Jonathan and God blessing David, I'm sorry, David and Saul and God blessing David and anointing him and the victories that he was having, Saul was very jealous and very angry and very upset, and David found himself in fear for his life. But Jonathan, the son of Saul, loved David very much. And David loved him. They were like brothers. They were the best of friends. They were very close to one another. Now, I would like to throw in that there's times that this scripture has been taken out of context and tried to be used to justify other things, but I want to be very clear, that's not at all what it meant. It's a brotherly love. A true passion for each other that said, "You're my best friend. I'm there for you no matter what. You can always count on me." Now, let's jump on to verse 13. Actually, we're going to go backward, if I may. You're seeing a response of two friends that are now coming into covenant. What is that covenant? What was that promise that was being made? I want to give you the covenant, if I can, for a moment. But if my father is inclined, this is Jonathan speaking, but if my father is inclined to harm you, may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if I do not let you know and send you away safely. That's what we just read about. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. Notice the past tense. But show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live. Notice what Jonathan is saying here to David. He says, I'm going to be there for you. You can count on me. If my father tries to do you wrong, I will surely let you know. But whatever happens, do not forget me. As long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off, he's saying this to David, and do not ever cut off your kindness from my family. Not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant. Everybody say covenant. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. Now let's go on to the third thing I want you to see here. This sermon may not be very long, but it's going to speak directly to what I believe God wants us to hear in this house today. There is power in covenant. I know that we live in a world today where many times no longer is people's word taken seriously. Used to, a man could shake hands and say, I give you my word, and that was the end of it. Used to, a couple could walk the aisle and take and give their vows one to another. And they wasn't looking on 99.99.com for a divorce. I've seen billboards going down the highway for $99.99, divorce.com. That's the world we live in. Where somehow covenant doesn't mean what it used to mean. Used to, if I made a promise to Mallory, Mallory knew that Pastor made a promise and she could count on it. Macy, are they paying you good? Saw her yesterday when I was getting my hair cut. Sweeping the floor, working. If you work, and they tell you they're going to pay you X number of dollars per hour, you expect it. But we live in a world today where many times no longer is our word our bond. A world that just treats covenant or promise or integrity or character like it doesn't really matter. But when you look at this story here, you see a story of two friends. You see David in fear of his life and Saul wishing to harm him and David and Jonathan coming together and Jonathan asking something of him and Jonathan keeping his part and protecting his friend and David knew that he could count on him. Why are you telling me this? Because I believe that as Christians that you and I should stand up for what is right. Let's get back to some simple preaching today. Be a man of your word. Be someone that can be counted on and trusted. My old father-in-law, he used to struggle with some paranoia on some issues. And one of his tests that he would do with people was when they got in, if he hired them to work for him, he would leave some money laying around in his truck. Wasn't much. Might be a dollar, might be 50 cents. But if it went missing, he didn't want them working for him. He was of the philosophy that if I found a quarter in your floorboard, I give it back to you. If I walk out your front door and there's some change laying on the ground, I won't pick it up and stick it in my pocket without first offering. That's just something he believed deeply, that if it's there, it's yours, it's not mine. I think some things in life are simple. I keep hearing this phrase throughout media, modern media, a spin, a spin, a spin. Does anybody hear that? This party puts their spin on it. This party puts their spin on it. And everybody's putting their spin on it. Why don't we just shoot straight? Oh my, I'm fixing to say it. Do you feel it coming? I felt it coming. I'm just going to be blunt with you. Do not vote for people who support abortion. It's that simple, guys. Be men and women of integrity. I don't care what color somebody's skin is. What I care about is morality. What I care about is the standard of the Word. You say, Pastor, I don't need to hear that in church. Yes, we do. Because we've stopped shooting straight. Just be honest. Be truthful. Be straightforward. When you're wrong, you're wrong. And when it's right, it's right. And when the Word says it, live by it. You and I may differ here and we may differ there, but when it comes to the foundational principles of the Word, there can be no compromise. And so here this covenant is. Jonathan could have said, this is my dad. But he knew his dad was wrong. He knew that what his dad was setting out to do wasn't right. And he made a covenant with David. And they both found themselves in this friendship that stood, and we're going to see here in a moment, that stood the test of time. Churches that are growing and thriving are those churches where people are unified in their walk with God. Where they're seeking the face of God passionately, and there's such a unity that the enemy can't find that little gap to slide into, and when he tries, we close the gap. Now let's look at the death of a king and of a friend. Bear with me. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. After the death of Saul, David returned from defeating the Amalekites and stayed in Ziklag 2 days. On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp with his clothes torn with dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honor. "Where have you come from?" David asked him. He answered, "I have escaped from the Israelite camp." "What happened?" David asked. "Tell me," he said. "The men fled from the battle. Many of them fell and died. And Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." David's lost his best friend. He's lost the one that he'd come into covenant with. The one that had made him a promise. I've noticed that throughout life, sometimes when our circumstances change, many times we compromise our covenant. Oh, this is good preaching right now. We don't get to go through hardship and all of a sudden compromise. If we're really in covenant, please hear this. If we're really in covenant with God Almighty, we don't get to twist and to re-spin and to rethink our salvation. We don't get to twist and to re-spin the covenant that's been made. We must be committed to the promise, to the covenant, to the standard, to the character of the Christian life. This world can twist and change and circumstances can come and go. But what we know to be right, what the Word says, it will stand for eternity. Stand by it. Can you say amen? Let's talk about a covenant that's kept. This is where the story of Jonathan and his son, notice what I said, Jonathan's son, and the fulfillment of David's promise begins. David has made a covenant. Jonathan's made a covenant. They came together. Saul has sought to destroy David. War is going on. Saul has died. Jonathan has died. David has left. David's on the throne. Are you following me now? He could have said, well, that covenant's dead. There's no one here to witness it. Jonathan and I talked about that in private. Nobody else knows it. I want to show you something. 2 Samuel. Chapter 4, verse 4. Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, he fell and became crippled. His name was Mephibosheth. Everybody say Mephibosheth. How would you like that name? Think about it. Macy? Mephibosheth. Could you hear your dad hollering, Mephibosheth? I already twist my names up and mess them all up, man. I'm not even going to say your name. Mephibosheth. My children, Casey, Kylie, Kayla, kind of like Johnny and Karen's house. It just runs together and you're like, Kayla, Casey, You know who I'm talking to? Just come here. Mephibosheth. Let's talk about this. You ready? The name Mephibosheth means from the mouth of a shameful thing. Whew. I like my name. Can you imagine your name literally meaning from the mouth of a shameful thing? I mean, that's kind of starting off life pretty bad. That's worse than Sue. Somebody say amen. I don't mean that Sue. I mean, you know, oh, y'all, please tell me y'all know what I'm talking about. Johnny Cash, thank you. I guess when you're a pastor, you got to watch what names you use in service, you know? Mephibosheth, from the mouth of the shameful thing. Why are you telling me this, Pastor? Because Mephibosheth plays right into a covenant promise that was made. Going all the way back to Jonathan and David in a very difficult season when after Saul's death and Jonathan's death, it would have been really easy for David to just forget the covenant. In the culture that he was in, it would have been expected. Here's Mephibosheth's life and three simple things. It's full of tragedy. Full of tragedy. He was crippled at the hearing of his grandfather and his father's death. That's a pretty rough start. He's got a name that says he's a shameful thing. He's now crippled both on the day that his father and his grandfather or the hearing of his death of his grandfather and his father. His life was full of fear. I'm trying to paint you a picture of this man's life for just a moment. Culturally, the tradition was that the descendants of the former king would be murdered by the new king. In other words, the tradition of that day was that it was David's job to execute anybody and everybody left connected to Saul's rule, reign, kingdom, and family. Jonathan's included, meaning the grandson of Saul, Mephibosheth. So he lived afraid. The reason they were running in fear is that now David is coming up into leadership. And if David took reign, that means he was to take their life. You know why they did it? Because then there was no chance that anyone from that family could raise their head back up and try to take the kingdom back over. But it didn't really matter what the tradition of the day was. Preaching way better than y'all letting on right now. I said it didn't really matter what the tradition of the day was. A covenant had been made. Are you hearing me? A promise had been given. Somebody knew what it meant to stand in character and integrity. Number three, Mephibosheth's life was full of fleeing. He always lived looking over his shoulder, wondering when the day would come. When will David send for me? When will my life be snuffed out? When will he put an end to my line and my family and my heritage? See, Mephibosheth knew nothing of the covenant that was made between Jonathan and David. He had no idea that his grandfather or his father had made a covenant with his best friend that spoke to his future. Please get this in your spirit today. Moms, dads, grandparents, the covenants we make, I believe, speak to our children and our grandchildren and our grandchildren's children. Why? Because that is the covenant power of the saving grace of Jesus Christ that generational curses can be destroyed forever. We're sowing seeds into our future. Two of my grands are here today. One of them, I think, half asleep. The other one sleeping. And my children. I could be fortunate enough to live to see my great-grandchildren. And I hope I am. Somebody say amen. I want them to hear of the covenant. Don't quit. Slap your neighbor and tell him, wake up. No doubt Mephibosheth spent a large portion of his life in fear of the day that David's men would show up to kill him. And that knock on the door finally came. Second Samuel chapter 9. David ask? David ask, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul? Notice the difference here. David says, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? He remembered. He remembered the covenant that he had made to his best friend, that as long as I am alive, I will take care of your family for you. Hear me out. Now there was a servant of Saul's house named Ziba. There's another name I wouldn't want to have. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? Your servant, he replied. The king asked, is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, he is at the house of Machir, son of Emil, in Lodabar. So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Emil. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, your servant, he replied, don't be afraid. David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed. Listen, you got to get this in your spirit. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's happened to you, I believe there's still power and a covenant promise. I still believe that there are things that God is working on your behalf. I feel like preaching right now. We can't sit down and load a bar. We can't give up. No matter what you've been through, God still has a plan for your life. Maybe the devil calls you a shameful thing, but God calls you blessed. God has a purpose for you. What verse was I at? Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. And your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring him the crops so that your master's grandsons may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Do you get where he came from? From the mouth of a shameful thing. Has went from being in fear. Can you go back to that slide for me? He's went from living a life of fear and of fleeing and tragedy. A definition that said his life was worthless. He has went from living in poverty to all of a sudden being assigned servants. To becoming a master himself. To be given a place to live in land that was not of his own. These servants were assigned to care for his property, to make sure that his crops were prepared and taken care of on his behalf, though he was crippled. And he was invited to sit at the king's table. Brother John, you just don't know what I'm going through. I don't see any Mephibosheths in here today. I don't know that any of us in this house are running for our life. But what I do know is this, no matter what we're going through or what we're facing, there's still a covenant that's been made. Oh, you better hear this preacher right now. And he's not forgot his covenant. He's not forgot his promise. He's not forgot the fact that somewhere along the way you went to your knees, repented of your sins, gave your life to Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me now? So when the devil comes and tells you that you're shameful, that you're not worth anything, that you're crippled, that you need to be afraid, that there's no reason to keep going, no reason, that sooner or later the bad's finally going to catch up with you and it's all going to come to an end. There's a covenant. Oh, that God remind us of the covenant today. I don't think y'all are quite excited about this is what I am. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. I can only imagine how Mephibosheth must have viewed life, orphaned, alone, poor, rejected, and afraid. But look at your neighbor and tell him this, the covenant stands. I want to get you to a point this morning that you're not living by how you feel anymore. You're living by faith. You're living by the promise that's been made. That you go back when the devil's trying to beat down your door and you remind him of who you are because of who he is. Do you know it today? I do. I want you to know it today. I want you to know that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no matter what you're facing, that God is in control. Mephibosheth expected the king's wrath, but instead he got his unconditional love. That is God's plan for us. No matter our condition or our past, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wants to restore his covenant with you. You. Each Sunday I look around and I see new faces. It'd be easy sometimes to brag about attendance and thank God for those attendances and thank God for growth. But you know what I care about this morning? I care about whether or not you're walking in covenant. Because if I can get you to that point, man, listen, we gathered in here at 9 o'clock this morning. We gathered in here last week at 9 o'clock. I'm going to open it to the whole church. We're going to meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and we're going to pray. Because I believe in every service, the most important thing is whether or not somebody comes into covenant with Jesus Christ. There is nothing I don't want to show. Oh, I'm bearing my heart to you right now. I don't want to play no games. I want to worship like we've never worshiped before. I want us to touch the hem of his garment. I want us to enter into the holy of holies so that as the word of God comes forth, that seed falls on ground that's been prepared. Why? Because it strengthens that covenant relationship. It reminds us of who he is in us. Greater is he that's in me. Amen. And it brings us to a point where we start standing up for our faith. And when the devil says boo, we say, what are you talking about? I know the promise of my God. I want to encourage you this morning. Get out of your doubt and get back into faith. Casey's 20. Kylie's 14. Kayla's 25. You're getting older, girl. Just like every parent in this house, there's times you're raising your babies and you just don't know what to do. But a long time ago, I learned this. God gave them to me. I gave them to him. And I trust him completely. Let's get back to covenant this morning. Are you ready? Stand with me if you would. Johnny, I hadn't forgot you. I'm just trying to follow the Lord right quick. I want you just to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. There was a sweet anointing during the time of worship today that I believe moved through this place. I have no doubts that that anointing began to touch lives and there were people that responded promptly. It is not my job to try to outwork God. It's my job to try to obey God and follow his direction. So here's what I'm going to ask you. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I feel like I'm in Lodabar. Pastor, sometimes it feels like the devil has told me I'm Mephibosheth and everything has just went wrong in my life. Pastor, I'm struggling with my health. I'm struggling with my finances. I'm struggling with my walk. I don't know your struggle. Mephibosheth's struggle was different than someone else's struggle. There's been times that I have felt like that I was in fear for my own life. I felt like the enemy was out to absolutely destroy me. But here's what I've learned. Are you listening? It always goes back to covenant. If you're here this morning and you have never come into a covenant agreement with Jesus Christ, what do you mean? His promise to save you, to heal you, to restore you. 20-something years ago on a Sunday morning, I walked that aisle, gave my life to the Lord, and here I am all these years later, still thankful every day for His love and for His grace. I want everybody to hear me right now. You don't have to spend your life in fear. You don't have to spend your life in poverty. You don't have to spend your life feeling abandoned, orphaned. Mephibosheth lost his daddy and his grandfather. He lost everything he had. His wealth, his finances, everything. But he didn't know a covenant had been made. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you today, you may feel like you've lost it all. But I'm telling you, a covenant was made for you to restore it all. And if you're ready, whatever you're lacking, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you need God to do, it's time to activate that covenant power in your life. That's not arrogance. Mephibosheth wasn't arrogant. In fact, he was humble. He was surrendered. And the minute the opportunity was placed in front of him, he was restored. Today I place an opportunity in front of you to sit at the King's table. If you're ready today, I want you to get out of your seat. If this applies to you, God's already touched your heart. The Holy Spirit's already got your attention. I want you to join me as I stand here in this altar today. From the youngest to the eldest, I don't care who you are. Get out of that seat and come right now. And let's activate God's covenant power in your life. You're not forgotten. Would you come? There's more. Would you come? Would you? You're not forgotten. You're not alone. Who else today? Who else today? Say something that may seem a little different. There was a long season of my life as a child where I went to the altar a lot. Into my teen years, in the early days of my walk with God, it seemed like every time an altar call was given, I went. What I've come to believe is this, that God is always shaping us. We'll go through seasons of our life where we just need to go before God and say, put me on that wheel today and work on the pot that I am. Shape me, Lord. And I think it's a wonderful thing. It's not the lie of the enemy that says you've lost your salvation or that you're on your way to hell. It's the reshaping, the developing, and the structuring, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you need to be in this altar today, I want you to get out of your seat and come right now. Join these that are here. It's important. It's important. Do not deny the work of the Lord in your life. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? If you want to know my heart as a pastor, you're trying to decide if you want this to be your church or your home, this is my heart. This is why I believe I exist. The purpose of the gospel lived out loud. That lives can be changed. Anyone else today before we pray? I'm going to do it a little different, friends or family. We have quite a few that are younger today and some that are a little bit older. Spouses, friends, family, come and stand with someone that's here today. If they have no family with them, you go join up with them. And just come. You know who you are. You feel led already. You just come. Get out of your seat and come. Stand with these that are here today. Would you please? Here's the first prayer we're going to pray. In the past year or two, we've seen a lot of attacks on the sinner's prayer with people trying to devalue that prayer. I do agree that the words of that prayer mean nothing if they're not a confession of your heart. But you stand here today, I believe, because you desire to know God more. Because you're hungry. Guys, there's such a sweet, sweet spirit of the Lord here today. Such a sweet, genuine move of the Spirit of God. The Bible said if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, that you will be saved. You say, Pastor, saved from what? The Bible tells us that without Jesus Christ and the shedding, the covering of His blood, that we're all destined to a sinner's hell. But the Bible also tells us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said in John 10:10, He said, I didn't come, the enemy comes, He said, to kill, to steal, and destroy. But He said He came to give us life, and life that much more abundantly. Today you're going to be charged with life. You're going to be infused with the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. Whether you realize it or not, even your blood, I believe, is being transfused because you become an adopted heir into the kingdom of God. Your blood, His blood, begins to flow through your veins. And the relationship that once did not exist now exists. You are part of the family of God. Are you ready for that supernatural event to happen in your life? That God-given outpouring, if you are, say this with me. All of us together. Lord Jesus, I come to You a sinner. I ask You to forgive me. Wash me in Your blood. Set me free from all sin. Teach me to serve You. I confess You as the Son of God, as my Savior, and as my Lord. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now, if you believe that, say a big amen. Now, Father, I pray over these that stand here today. Lord, there are people that stand all the way across this altar today that have said, Lord, I come into covenant with You. There are people here that stand here today that said, God, activate Your covenant power. Activate Your covenant power fresh in my life. Lord, I just speak to every area of their life in boldness and in faith today. That as they have come in faith, that covenant power is being activated. Their mind and their heart is being reminded and renewed in the promise of God. Their mind and their heart is being restored in the promise of God. Their name will no longer be a shameful thing. Their name will no longer bear witness as it was with Mephibosheth to Lodabar in a place of poverty and discouragement, of abandonment, of forgotten. But Lord, their name today will represent a covenant that was made over 2,000 years ago, a covenant that's being released afresh in their life today. They're being reminded of the promise And no matter who has failed them, no matter who's betrayed them, no matter what's happened in this natural world, the covenant that Jesus has made with them, it still stands. And so, Lord, we stand in faith and we praise You for it right now. We praise You all over this church for Your covenant promise. We praise You for healing. We praise You for wealth. We praise You, Father, for blessing. We praise You for salvation. We praise You, God, for safety. We praise You for protection. We praise You for everything that Jehovah God said He would release in our life through the covenant promise of His Son. Right now, devil, you have been rebuked. Your tactics and your strategy have been brought to an end. And today we stand in the covenant promise of our God.
Today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.